This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast. And welcome back. The Christmas break is over, but I think the Capitals thought it was actually Easter and not Christmas, because boy, did they lay an egg against the New York Rangers. Joining me as always to talk all about it, Coach Dan. He loved that joke. He absolutely loved it. You should see him right now.
Oh, that was terrible.
What's up, Coach Dan? How you doing? How was Christmas?
It was good. As anybody that may watch a clip of this later, you'll see the nice little gift I got from Brandon. So thank you, buddy. It was good. It was good. Time with family. Time to relax. I have a 4-year-old.
Time to get sick again, sounds like.
No, time to... We're recording in the morning, and I haven't had coffee or anything yet. I have a 4-year-old, and so he was just overwhelmed with everything going on. He said 100 presents. I ain't got that kind of money, so that didn't happen.
Wrapping up, like, individual, like, Q-tips or something like that till you get to 100, you know? The big bag of Reese's peanut butter cups from Halloween and wrap each one individually.
That would take far too long. Well, no, mine was good. How was yours?
It was really good. Yeah, Christmas was very nice. I spent it in Ocean City. It's my home away from home. I got to spend it with the family. We had some great food, some turkey, some ham. M'lady got me tickets to a Hershey Bears game coming up, so that's going to be really fun and good stuff, and get to see some prospects. Maybe I'll see Henrik Lapierre and Mira Shevchenko if they get sent back down. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But solid gift from her. Great Christmas Day. It was awesome. But the Capitals are back at work. They went up to Madison Square Garden a night after WWE had their first holiday event on the 26th. But the Capitals were up against the Rangers, and not a game that I think any Caps fans are really going to be itching to talk about again soon. Because what a final score! Things went from bad to worse in that game.
I mean, it was just another one of those games where when they lose, they go hard losing. Like, nobody is losing like that, except for, who did the Penguins play last night? Like, the Predators or something? I don't know who they played.
I think it was the Islanders, wasn't it?
The Islanders, sorry. It's like 7-0. Chris Letang is... I don't like talking about the Penguins, but still an impressive feat. 5 points in a period. I was like, Jesus. Like, I get it. Like, defensemen tend to play a lot, and he's obviously one of the top... He's the Penguins' top defenseman. He's a very good defenseman, but... Like, was anyone playing defense on the other team? Like, were they just... I mean, I can't say much considering the Caps played pretty poorly, but they gave up 5 goals in the game, not in a period. So they weren't quite as bad. But no, it was another situation where they played well in the first, I thought. You know, they came out to the lead. Anthony Mantha's resurgence continues.
Yeah, and really a storied season with this new coach.
Yeah, it's really working out well for him. I think it's worked out well, him playing with McMichael and Protas. That's been a really good line. Protas is getting good stats. McMichael looks like he's looked like this for pretty much most of the season, if not the entire season, including preseason, but he's an NHL player. And he's a second-line center with Protas on the left and Mantha on the right. And they're playing really well up until the start of the second period, and then it just kind of went downhill from there. And that was the end of it. It was just a bad game. Now, it's easy to kind of focus on that one thing when they've gone, since we last talked, they've gone 2-1-1. So out of a total of, 8 points, they've gotten 5? Yeah. So if you can get out of every 8 points you can possibly get, you get 5, I'll take that. That's playoff numbers right there. That's getting you into the playoffs. And when you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. So, you know, I'll take it. At least it's a good start. You know, at one point they had actually had 4 overtime games in a row, which I do wonder if that kind of played its part in the game against the Rangers, where I know they had some time off, but like, you're still getting a little exhausted. It's a lot mentally. But they've been doing pretty good. They took it to Tampa, who's a good team, and they just, after beating up the Rangers in DC earlier in the month, I guess the Rangers took it personally and decided to return the favor. What was it, a 4-0 win the Caps had? Do I have that right?
I think that's right.
Yeah. Back on the ninth, they won 4-0. So the Rangers are like, well, we can kind of do it too and win 5-1. So not great.
Do you think that the schedule is kind of hurting the Capitals a little bit more? They are, like we said, they are a veteran team. They've got a lot of older players. They do have a lot of younger players, but pretty much they are dominated with older players, you know, closer to their mid-30s. Is the schedule hurting these guys? We were talking about this before we even, you know, got on air, and the schedule is kind of wonky for the Capitals, and it doesn't – things just they played the fewest amount of games, but I feel like we saw them do really well before Christmas. Then they get 3 days off, and then they come in, and they got to find their footing again on the ice. So is the schedule kind of hurting this team? Because every time they get a rhythm going, they then get, you know, 3-4 days off or something like that, and they got to get back to where they were. They got to get the groove back. You know, is that a factor in this up-and-down season that they've had?
I mean, if that is a problem, then they're going to love January because they're playing a ton. I mean, they played the fewest. I heard this stat last night, and I'm just going to double check to make sure that's correct, but I'm pretty confident that they have played the fewest games. Yep. I mean, given it's only by one with a couple of teams, but they've played the fewest games in the Metro. I don't know if they played – they haven't played the fewest in the league. Right now, that looks like it's Ottawa, who's only played 30. Looks like most right now, anybody's plays 36. A bunch of teams have played 36. So, you know, having those gaps, they might miss that because they got a ton of games coming up. I mean, just, you know, after the new year, they got – well, they have what, a back-to-back – yeah,
they coming back up on, to back on the 2nd and 3rd.
Well, they got 29th, 30th of December, so they got a back-to-back, couple days off, back-to-back, day off, game. And the longest stretch they'll have where they can kind of recuperate is they at the beginning of January, from the 8th to the 10th, they don't play. So they'll have 3 days off at home. They have a nice home stretch coming up. But, you know, if their complaints is that they had too much time off, they're not going to have much to complain about in January. Because they're playing and playing and playing. And in my mind, having an older team, having that time off is actually better because it gives guys who are older, whose bodies don't heal quite as quickly, it gives them a chance to rest. And so the problem is a lot of the old guys have been out injured. So maybe it's not as big of a problem. I don't know. I mean, if this is a team that needs consistency and needs to be playing to get into a groove, then January is going to be great. If this is a team that needs a break, January is going to suck. And so we'll kind of see what this team is coming up because they're not getting a lot of downtime. You know, I kind of agree with you in terms of like having a groove, I feel like is better because you have the consistency of playing and you're not mind wandering. You're not, you know, getting your sort of muscle memory back into it every, you know, 3-4 days because you've had all this time off. But you get beat up and there's a fair amount of divisional games coming up. You got the Penguins, you got the Devils, you got the Hurricanes, the Rangers. You have a home and home against the Rangers coming up on the 13th and 14th of January. Like, these are a lot of teams that are going to want to hit you and take points off of you. So it's going to be interesting to see what we, you know, if we're talking at the end of the month when they go on a West Coast trip or central trip, actually middle of the country.
Yeah. Mid country,
you know? So we'll see what happens there in terms of how they're doing towards that trip. But it's going to be interesting.
I'm glad you brought up the January schedule because I didn't really look forward that much to it. But look, 13th and 14th, you have a home and home against the Rangers, and those are back-to-back games. So any sort of bad blood that happens in that first game is going to trail over because you're literally playing them within 24 hours. But then look at the next week, you have a home and home. Yes, there's a day off in the middle, but you have a home and home against St. Louis, where St. Louis is here on the 18th. Then you fly to St. Louis, and then you are up against St. Louis again on the 20th. I mean, that is
weird scheduling.
January is going to be a very weird scheduling, but this is going to be a rough month.
This whole season's weird for the Caps when you have so few games played. And then now you've got this like back to home and home with the Rangers. And then, like you said, like a kind of a home and home with St. Louis, Which what they'll call up Vrana at that point and be like, he'll be teared. I hope he, you know, comes back up and tears it up. But yeah, it's a weird schedule.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of look back a little bit here. And Ivan Miroshevchenko, he got his call. He officially started his NHL career. What did you think of the Miroshevchenko debut?
I thought he played well. I think he played, you know, kind of within his skill set. I think that there's still a lot that they want to see him grow, or areas they want to see him grow. Specifically his defensive responsibilities. I know those are things that he's been working on in Hershey, but I think his offensive production and this team's occasional lack of offensive production gave him that opportunity to come up. And, you know, obviously I think it's going to be a limited thing. There was a paper transaction where he and LaPierre were sent back down to Hershey over the Christmas break. They, of course, you know, brought him back up so he could play against, well, not many people played against the Rangers. They may have been on the ice, but they weren't playing. But he came pretty close to scoring, I think, almost in every game. He had a pretty good opportunity both against the Rangers last night and which game was it? There was another one where he was pretty close. Honestly, it was Tampa or Columbus. He was pretty close to getting one. So, you know, I was hoping that he was going to get one, kind of get that going, get it started, a good story. But I think in general, this kid is a really good story. And I think this is a kid who's going to make a lasting impact on this franchise, not necessarily like an Ovechkin or a Backstrom, but he's going to be a very good player for this team, a top six forward. He's just not there quite yet. And that's okay.
Did you notice who his linesmen were at the end of that Rangers game?
I did not.
It was an all Russian line of Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Miroshevchenko. I think that's really good for him. And I mean, that I thought that was his best shot on goal was towards the end of the game when those were his linesmen. I don't know if he hit the post. He was going for, I guess, glove side, I believe, for a shot up high, and he just was a little too high. I thought he got it. I really did. I mean, I really, really thought that he got his first goal up against the Rangers in the third period. But I found it very interesting that they're going to try that out. They're going to have Ovi and Miro and Kuzi there all on one line, that Russian line, trying to, I think, spark Miro's game, but also try to spark Ovi's game as well.
You know, well, Ovechkin did finally score. Let's give him some credit. He got an overtime winner.
Yes, yes,
he's up to 6 goals on the season now. It's hard to. I don't think it's a situation where like his body's breaking down because, or he's not playing as well as he used to because he's hit a ton of posts. It's just like he's got no luck right now. And yeah, it seems like I remember someone kind of put it out. Was it you said it or someone put it on Twitter though? I think it was on Twitter that he's like bobbling the puck a bit more than he used to, but. It's just, he's got no luck at all right now. But no, it's nice to, I didn't actually catch that they're all on the ice together, the Russian line. Carberry's just kind of throwing things together, I think, at that point. And I think he also knows, like, we know a bunch of the guys that have been injured, Oshie, Pacioretty, other guys, you know, Ethan Bear's likely coming in. So there's going to be some roster decisions for this team to make. They already kind of started that process when they sent Lucas Johansson down. And so it was nice for Miroshevchenko to kind of get a cup of coffee in the NHL. Now he knows kind of what the NHL is all about. He, you know, he'll know about the speed of the players. He'll know how they, you know, how the team plays, the hitting and all that aspect. So he's ready the next time they have to call him up. Because I imagine he and LaPierre, they're going back down when Pacioretty and Oshie are healthy. And then it's likely, this is coming from Sammy Silber of the Hockey News, but I would imagine Matthew Phillips is likely the other dude making his way down.
I think Pacioretty and Oshie are skating with the team. Ethan Bear, I believe, who is still yet to be signed, is skating with the team. So it looks like the return for those guys and the debut of Ethan Bear are pretty soon on the horizon.
Yeah, and I think that's what Carberry was talking about before Christmas in terms of, like, none of these guys are playing before Christmas or the Christmas break, likely coming soon. They're all skating. I think probably Pacioretty might be the closest. Have we seen anything about Milano? I feel like I haven't heard that name in a while.
I don't know. I have not heard about him.
So I feel he's another guy that's going to be coming back. Because like when he's ready, when Oshii's ready and Patch Reddy's ready, I think that's when we see Mir Shevchenko, LaPierre go back down, and we'll see probably Matthew Phillips be put on waivers. Because I can't think of anyone else on the roster, barring a trade to just free up a roster spot, I can't very well see anyone else making their way off this roster right now. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Either you're going to lose them by waivers and someone you don't want to, you want to keep that depth. And so while Matthew Phillips was a great story, unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out for him in terms of playing time, in terms of a roster spot. I don't know who's he's taking, especially given how a number of these lines have gelled. And you're certainly not going to bench Oshii or Pacioretty. I mean, the question is, who's going to go up into the press box whenever, if this ever happens, but like when everybody's healthy. So, there's a lot. These are good questions to have, but I don't know who's the odd man out right now when everyone's healthy.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Will everyone ever be healthy? It seems like once we get like, all right, yes, finally, this guy's back. Oh, there goes somebody else. Yeah, great. We finally got Nick Backstrom back, and then he's out.
I mean, I don't know. Oshii, I think, is the big question mark in terms of health, given he's kind of back and forth with being on injury reserve. And someone's going to have to be up in the press box. And the easy thing is like, okay, well, it's either going to be someone on the fourth line. Is it Beck Mallinson or Nicholas Aubé-Kubel? But we know that the Mallinson-Dowd Aubé-Kubel line, Carberry's a big fan of. So I'm curious, is there be more of a rotation amongst guys, especially with some of the guys that have been injured coming back? Well, they'll do a little bit of a rotation on the third line with Kuznetsov between Milano, Oshii, and Pacioretty. So I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens there. And these are obviously good things for the Caps to have because these are good players. But these are still interesting situations for a first-year head coach to get right, because if he gets them wrong and he gets players frustrated about playing time, then he's got an extra headache on top of all the other issues, like this team needing to get wins, considering basically second through seventh place in the Metro is separated by like 5 points. Yeah. So, a couple of losses and you're suddenly stuck in seventh. Columbus is just kind of there hanging out. So there's a lot of decisions for this team to make.
Carberry, you can definitely tell he likes having the young guys on the team. I think he knows that you can't have all rookies and you can't have like just an upgraded AHL team on the ice at the NHL level. But you can tell like he likes mentoring. He likes having these young players on the team. He likes giving these guys a chance. I mean, the fact that he brought up Mirov Shevchenko, I mean, that should tell you everything about Spencer Carberry, because he pretty much was like, he's willing to give anybody a shot. If you prove that you can work hard and that you're willing to put in the time, you're going to get a chance to play on Carberry's ice.
Yeah, and I think that is a big thing for him, is like, you got to earn it. And I think that's important, whether you're a veteran guy, whether you're a young guy. We've seen him kind of put Milano up in the press box when he's not playing well. We know that Matthew Phillips was a guy that he supported in terms of being on this team. And, he's realized that he's the extra forward, and they're going to need that roster spot pretty soon once they have everybody, again, assuming, knock on wood, everybody comes back. But once they have everybody back, he's likely to be the odd man out. So there's some interesting choices for him and Brian McClellan to make in terms of where this roster's at. And then, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a trade between now and obviously in the trade deadline to see them kind of shake things up, and we'll kind of see what that does. But there's also, we haven't seen this team with Max Pacioretty. We don't know what he's going to bring to this team.
Yeah.
And, a healthy Milano, a healthy TJ Oshii, like, what does that do with this team? What does an Ethan Bear on defense? Does it kind of solidify the defense a little bit by having a little bit of an older guy? He's not old, he's like 26. But having a guy who's been in the league before, who can move the puck, who's, looked at a little bit of, not a defensive defenseman necessarily. He's not got huge offensive numbers, but he likes to get and play the offensive game and get the puck moving up the ice quickly. And that's, Carberry's big on puck possession. So I'm curious to see what he can do. Basically, we haven't really seen this team yet, which, considering they're kind of...
Which is crazy to say, since it's going to be 2024 in a couple days.
But I feel like that's part of what happens when you have all these injuries. If you had a healthier team, then we kind of would know. And it's not like they just made a bunch of trades to shake things up. They got an opportunity with a free agent who's excited to come here, and I'm sure they're excited to have. they signed the guy in the offseason knowing they weren't going to be able to have him play until later in the season. So, you know, these are it's sort of an Arsenal reference, but like it's like having a new two new signings. I mean, yeah, I literally have one new signing, but we'll see what happens in terms of having these guys on the roster, because it could go really, really well for them, or these could be moves that didn't work out.
Right.
But that could be the case with anything. You know, you have players that start really well and then kind of trail off, you know, as the season goes on. And then you have guys like Anthony Mantha, who the Caps have been trying to get rid of. And he's like, well, you know what? Now I've turned up and I found line mates that I gel with. And I found a coach that is backing me and believing in me. And not to say that like Laviolette didn't. Different coaching styles gel with different players. And for whatever reason, Carberry's coaching style has just worked with Anthony Mantha. Carberry and his coaching staff has worked with Anthony Mantha. And now we're seeing the player that the Caps will have an interesting decision to make in terms of the offseason. Do you offer him a new contract? Do you let him go? Do you try and trade him at the deadline or after the season to get something for him? And that depends on where they're at in the standings and what they can get.
A lot of questions, a lot of uncertainties. We've brought up Ethan Bear a couple times. I still don't understand how the guy is not signed and is skating and everything like that. But, I mean, allegedly he's already signed a contract. It's
playing
a 2-year
with the
contract.
Cap space would be my guess.
Yeah, yeah. But it's wild to me that this guy is allowed to do that and nobody's blinking an eye at it. But, hey, I mean, I can't wait to see this guy actually debut. I want to see what all the fuss is about because, like I said a couple episodes ago, Vancouver Canuck fans were like, good, take him, have him, you know, he's not worth the hassle. So it's a little funny that he's got all this hype around him and he's going to be a part of this team with not a lot of with he's practicing and everything and he doesn't have a contract signed yet, but you know, it is what it is. Anything else we should talk about here in Caps World?
Let me check the notes. Did we miss anything that we jotted down? I don't think so. I mean, they're kind of, you know, recent history notwithstanding, they've been doing okay. They've been doing pretty good. You know, they're 2-1-1 over the last four games. It's not bad.
No, and the it's a lot of overtime wins. It's they've gone to shootouts, but it was good to see that they had some fight in them before Christmas, and they didn't quit, and they kept going. So I mean,
be nice if they win in freaking regulation.
That would be nice. That would be nice if they could just win in three.
Especially
periods.
When you're going to these overtime games against divisional opponents. Like, stop giving your divisional opponents points, right? You do it against Tampa. They're not in division. I don't care if we take an extra point off of them. You know, we get two, they get one. But like Columbus, because they're kind of garbage. But like the Islanders, why are you giving them an extra point? Carolina, why are you giving them an extra point? Win in regulation, yeah. So you're taking both points.
Yeah, we need those points. They're going to become more and more important as the season goes on. All right, well, if that's it for what's going on in Caps World, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But here's a quick word from some of our sponsors. All right, everybody, how's it going? Welcome back to the show. Here we go. We're going down on the farm. We're going to talk about the Hershey Bears, the South Carolina Stingrays, and a little bit of World Junior news. Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 3-0 with a shootout win over Springfield and regulation wins over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, there's an R there, and Providence. The Bears are currently first in both the Atlantic Division and the entire AHL with 50 points. They're 11 up on Cleveland in the AHL and 15 up on second place Hartford in the Atlantic. Now, they'll be back at it on Friday in Rochester before heading to Lehigh Valley on Saturday. They then return to the Giant Center on Wednesday when they host Charlotte. In other Bears news, head coach Todd Nelson will be coaching the Atlantic Division All-Stars at the AHL All-Star Classic. So that's a pretty cool opportunity for him. I wonder how much coaching really goes into an All-Star game. You're like, okay, you guys go now. Go play. All right, it's been a minute. You guys go play.
I was reading into this, and I found it very interesting that he's coached, I think, like four times for the AHL All-Star game. But it's also how many games you win as a coach going through the season. That's what gets you the award of being able to coach the All-Star game. I didn't know that. I just thought it was kind of like, all right, we're just picking one of the coaches and calling it a day. But no, like, you have to earn that spot, which I think is kind of different.
Yeah, I think it's the AHL, at least in the NHL, do it the same way, where it's the coaches that are leading their divisions at a certain point. They get to coach the All-Star game. I feel like the first time is really cool if you're a coach, and then after that you're like, dang, I was looking towards a little vacation.
Right.
Like, now I gotta go. Because like playing in it is different, I feel like, than coaching it. Playing in it, you get to actually go and do some stuff and screw around, versus coaching it, you have like a stopwatch. You're like, all right, yep, been 45 seconds. Next line. Oh no, they scored a goal. Like, you're not getting anything for it, right? You're like, it doesn't hurt you in the standings. So you're like, oh shucks, you know. So, and maybe they get, I don't know, maybe there's like a financial incentive or something for doing it, but it's a nice opportunity. It's nice to be recognized, but I also kind of wonder if sometimes coaches are like, damn, I would have liked those few extra days off.
Yeah, I will say this is his fourth time doing it, and that is a new league record. So that is pretty cool for him to be doing it. But like you said, I'm sure he's like, all right, I'm done now.
Yeah, it's not like he's like, okay, got to make sure that guy, when he's coming down, you know, make sure you pass it. Like, no, he's like, just go play.
Yeah.
It's the All-Star game. Like, it's fine. It's not a big deal. Let's head on down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 2-0 with wins over Jacksonville and Atlanta. They're actually on a nice 6-game winning streak, which has put them second in the South Division with 36 points, 4 back of first place Greenville. In fact, their win on Wednesday was the franchise's 1,200th win, which is a pretty impressive feat. Now, they'll be back at it on Thursday in Orlando before heading back home to the North Charleston Coliseum to host those same Solar Bears. In World Juniors news, Capitals prospect Ryan Leonard made an impact immediately in the U.S.'s first game against Norway. Leonard got an assist and had 8 shots on goal, which was a game high. U.S. beat Norway 4-1 in their opener. Currently, at the time of recording, the U.S. is up against Switzerland. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, go Bears, go Stingrays, and go Team USA in the World Juniors. We're going to take another break, and then we'll be back with Around the NHL and Beyond. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It is time for Around the NHL and Beyond. High emphasis this week on the and beyond part. Coach Dan, catch us up. What is going on around the NHL and beyond?
Let's start in the Pacific Northwest, where the NHL Winter Classic is scheduled for New Year's Day. The outdoor game will feature the Seattle Kraken. I got to admit, that name has grown on me a bit. I know. I still think of the rum
every time.
I didn't know that was a thing, but I wasn't a fan of it before. Why is this picture on Twitter? I wasn't a fan of it before. It has grown on me. I still think it's kind of silly, but whatever. And the S logo, I wasn't a big fan of. That's grown on me a bit. I still think it's a better secondary logo, but that's fine. Anyways, they're going to be taking on Vegas at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. I would actually find it interesting. Someone do this, because I don't feel like actually looking it up. I'd be curious to see all of the Winter Classic games they've had. Take out the Heritage and the Outdoor games. Although maybe, actually, you know what? Well, not the Heritage games, because there's not as many baseball stadiums in Canada. But the Winter Classics and the Outdoor games, I want to see how many were at football fields versus how many were at baseball stadiums. Because I feel like we talked about this years ago, but baseball stadiums are more geared towards a Winter Classic because all the seats are facing home plate, which right. is typically in that area, like the infield grass and dirt. That's where the rinks are normally set up versus a football stadium. Everybody's kind of looking straight ahead. So I don't know. That'd be an interesting stat.
I also want to know, you might know this, maybe you'll remember, but how many Stanley Cup champions from the year before have them played in the Winter Classic the next year? Because Vegas, they are the reigning Stanley Cup champions, and now they're in the Winter Classic. Has that happened before, where they've had the Cup champion in the Classic the very next year?
I don't know. We'd have to look that up. I have no idea. But also, like, it's, you know, they announce these well in advance, so before the you know prior year's winner. So it would have to be coincidental to an extent. Also, oh, I get it, because it's the two most recent franchises. I was like, there's no rivalry between these two, so why are they playing? Oh, duh, because they're the most recent new teams in the league. So, like, let's make it a cool thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, Winter Classic, and you're up against the two youngest teams in the NHL.
At this point, at this point, I think Classic is more about it just being
the game itself.
For a while. Yeah, they've been doing it for a while now, which is still kind of a cool thing. This one probably won't have as many eyes on it because of the two, you know, just because West Coast teams don't tend to have as many eyes on them as East Coast teams, just because of population in the U.S. is higher on the East Coast, but or at least yeah, East and West. That's much right, doesn't right, matter.
So I'm looking at the Wikipedia here. Let's see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven football stadiums. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 baseball stadiums.
Interesting. Now, that's just Winter Classics, not including the outdoor games?
That is Winter Classics, correct.
Okay. All right. No, yeah. I mean, it makes sense to have more of them at baseball stadiums because, like I said, the seats are facing home plate, so they're facing the ice. Anyways, back in NHL news, rookie Connor Bedard continues to impress as he netted a Michigan goal on Saturday night against St. Louis, but he was not to be outdone as Ducks forward Trevor Zegras, he did the same thing on the same night. That's certainly a rarity for the NHL to get two Michigan goals in one night. In professional women's hockey league news, Minnesota has named former Caps defenseman Ken Klee as their new head coach. That was not a name that I have heard in quite some time. So when that popped up on Twitter, I was like, oh man, I haven't thought about Ken Klee in forever. Now he replaces Charlie Berggraf, who has decided to step away from the team. Klee, like I said, he was a former Caps first round pick in 1990. He spent 9 seasons in DC from 94 until 2003. You were talking about the World Juniors earlier, or I guess I'd say we were. That tournament is in full swing. Now, due to the tournament being ongoing and this not being live radio, by the time you listen to this podcast, the standings will have changed. So here are some highlights from the first few days. Germany, for the first time ever, was able to beat Finland at the World Juniors with a final score of 4-3. Canada, not being very nice, they defeated Latvia 10-0. I know, but like, they're mostly adults and like they're allowed to play, but like 10-0 just seems a bit much. Norway was able to keep the USA scoreless in the first period of their game, but as we talked about before, they were able to find a way to win 4-1. And finally, while there may not have been any suspensions or fines in the NHL, Swedish defenseman and Winnipeg Jets prospect Elias Salomonsson was suspended 1 game for a check into the boards against Latvia forward Emils Vikantins during their game on Tuesday. That's the news for the past week in the NHL and beyond.
Absolutely loving watching the World Juniors. I've tried to catch at least a little bit of every single game, and it has been an absolute blast to watch all these young guys playing their hearts out and at the international level. I don't know. It's just something special about watching games over in Europe. I think I'm guessing that's why you enjoy the football that is not American, but it's just... It's just something different, and it's a lot of fun, and I love that they're representing their countries. But I love the World Juniors. It's one of my favorite times of the year. So, Coach Dan, is that everything? Have we finished the show? Are we done this episode of What the Puck?
I think that's it, buddy.
All right, everybody. Well, if you'd like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is follow us both on X, formerly Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people follow you at?
You can find me on Twitter, WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related hockey, including last night when they should have just waved a white flag and went home early. I'm on there Brandon was talking about my fascination with European football and Arsenal Football Club, on there talking about them, as well as all sorts of other teams, talking about the Bills, the Commanders right now. Everybody, I don't know if you saw, you didn't because you're a Ravens fan, but the Commanders came back with like a late game. They took the lead. I don't even remember who they were playing. I'm totally blanking on it right now. The Jets. And then the Jets went on to win on a field goal, and Commanders fans were elated with the fact that they were able to get the loss, because it just gives us a better draft pick, because right now this team sucks.
As a Ravens fan, been
quote unquote benched in favor of Jacoby Brissett. Reality is Howell's just getting, he's not playing very well. It's not going to help his development, getting beat up every week. Like, let him go, chill on the sidelines. We'll see what happens. If they get a really good draft pick, he might not be here anymore, because they might go and draft a quarterback. But this team is definitely hitting like a reset. I mean, they already did that with a new ownership. And so we'll see what happens.
As a Ravens fan, you stay away from Mike McDonald. He is our defensive coordinator. You don't want him as a head coach. He is ours. You leave him alone. Don't touch him. Stay away.
I feel like they're going to talk to him.
No.
They're going to go and get a new GM. And I think one of the people that's, I don't remember who it is, but there's some dude in Baltimore that like has been part of the, or not part of the conversation, but like people think is someone they want to talk to about their open G or what will be their open GM position. And so we'll see if they do a little raid of the Ravens. Anyway, somehow that was following me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, occasionally the Hershey Cubs, the World Juniors, the PWHL, and other things that Brandon finds interesting in the wide world of hockey. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, we were just talking football for a little bit. We were talking about the Commanders and the Bills and the Ravens. But my understanding is if someone happens to be a fan of a certain purple-clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast they should follow?
So you can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. Me and my buddy Josh, twice a week, we talk about the Baltimore Ravens and how they are going to win the Super Bowl in just a couple weeks. That's right. Acknowledge them. That's what we got to do. Yeah, yeah, you know it. Don't act like you don't.
Dude, the whole thing is there are so many times where teams have been, like, really good, and then there's like, oh, no, they suck again. Like, look at the Eagles when everyone's like, they're going to win it all. And there's just like, loss, 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 loss. And then there's like, the Niners are the best, and then they got embarrassed by the Ravens. So, like, now it's your turn to go through this, like, you're going to be great, and then something's going to happen.
Make sure you're social with our show, What the Puck. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Rate us over on Spotify. Let people know on all of your favorite social media platforms. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. On Friday, December 29th, the Capitals are on Long Island up against the Islanders. That game is at 7:30. You can watch that one locally on Monumental Sports Network 2. And then on Saturday, so this is a back-to-back, on Saturday, December 30th, the Capitals welcome the Predators from Nashville to D.C. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network. And then on Tuesday, January 2nd, the Capitals are up against the Pittsburgh Penguins. That one is going to be on ESPN Plus and Hulu exclusively. And then on Wednesday, January 3rd, it's going to be Wednesday night rivalry night. That game is the New Jersey Devils at in D.C. up against the Capitals. That is a 7:30 start, and you can watch that one nationally on TNT and stream it on Max. And then we'll be back to talk Caps hockey after that. So, Coach Dan, we got a back to we got two back to backs. Look at that, two back to backs.
Okay, here we go.
All right, so Coach Dan, what's your prediction here? We got two back to backs. What goalie's playing what game here? Let's start off with Islanders and Nashville.
Hang on, I'm looking up Nashville's. Okay, 30 points, not bad. I'm going to say Lindgren, especially because Kemper just played, Lindgren on Long Island and Kemper in Nashville.
That's good. So we have a chance to win if Lindgren's in net. That's good.
Oh, come down.
And then Tuesday, Wednesday, we got Penguins versus Devils. Who's got which game there?
Ooh, that's a tough one. See, I'm going to go again. Lindgren, I'm going the same order. Lindgren in Pittsburgh and Kemper against the Devils.
All right. I can see that one. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Wow, two back-to-backs. These guys are going to be tired. Good thing they got
Those
3 days off.
Those are both really big games, by the way. I mean, given things have changed because they have a couple games before that, but you got the Penguins who are right behind you and the Devils who are right behind you in the standings. So those are huge. These are upcoming divisional games over the next couple of weeks are massive to get some, and you have the Islanders even before that, to get some separation in this division.
Got lots going on. Going to be a fun month to talk Caps hockey with Coach Dan in January. Here we go, guys. Welcome to 2024. It's right around the corner. All right, we're going to get out of here because the USA game against Switzerland is just about to start, and we're going to go watch that one now. So everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.